David, we've been talking about the National Broadband Plan for many, many years. We know that National Broadband Ireland has been working with boots on the ground since this time last year. Maybe just give us a bit of an overview of what you're announcing today.
Well, what we're announcing today is the first connections, the O'Connor family in Cork, the first family hooked up to the National Broadband Plan. Of course, we're working across all 26 counties, but this is the first actual customer that's being connected to the network. So it's an exciting day for National Broadband and the 800 people that are working on this. And it's an exciting day for Ireland, I think.
As I mentioned, we've been talking about this for a long time, and I don't think people fully appreciate all of the background work and the backroom work that has to go into getting this first house connected. Can you give us an idea of, the work that has gone in over the last 20 or 12 months since you've put the first boots on the ground?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't think people appreciate it, and maybe some of us even in National Broadband didn't appreciate it until you step back and look at it. But we went from basically a standstill to 800 people working across all 26 counties. We've surveyed 158,000 premises, which is obviously the critical first step in any rollout. And that involves physically walking the routes. And keep in mind, we're putting enough fiber to go around the world four times. So it gives you an idea how much fiber we have to put down and how many different physical routes we have to walk. And then we've designed 120,000 homes, and we have under construction approximately 20,000 premises. So, and by the end of this year, we'll have 130,000 under construction. So there's a huge amount of work to set up the business and to get the survey work done and the design work done. And then, of course, the construction comes quickly behind that. And then you have to onboard all the retail service providers. We have 33 onboarded and 17 have been through our lab. We had to build a testing lab to make sure everyone gets the exact same, every retail provider has the exact same access and the same level of service. So they all get to test their equipment in our lab. So we have to build a lab. And then during COVID, obviously we can only let one provider in at a time. So that caused its own little challenges. But we have 17 that are through the lab, 17 different retail providers. And we're off starting to hook up and connect customers, which we're very excited about.
You mentioned there about the collaboration with the different network providers. How has that relationship and how have those relationships developed over time? Because we know again, the talk around the National Broadband Plan was quite controversial at times. You had some of the different networks, putting their hat in the ring. Obviously, NBI came out on top. So how is the working relationship with the different partners?
It's great. Like I said, 33 of them have been onboarded. It's great. I mean, Ireland's National Broadband Plan is probably the most ambitious telecom project in the world. And it obviously showed real leadership by the government to see it through all these controversies and delays. And you can understand how maybe some people that were some retail providers that maybe thought that maybe they had a different view of what it meant. So maybe they had a view that was different when the program was being designed to be rolled out. But now that it's rolled out, they're all on board and everyone is rowing in the same direction. And I think those service providers want what's best for rural Ireland, which is choice and access to 500 megabits. You know, as this project started, Jess, as you remember, we were contractually obligated to deliver 150 megabits, but now we're delivering 500 megabits, and that's a minimum speed from day one. So I think everybody's on board and everybody's rowing in the same direction. I think COVID has shown us how important, Jess, it is that people have access to high-speed broadband. I think that people that live in rural Ireland, like I do, I'm in Clare, in the west of Ireland, and this broadband project can not only save jobs, it can create jobs in rural Ireland. It can revitalize rural Ireland, allow people like Leo Varadkar said, allow people to work at home, but also allow people to create jobs in rural environments so they don't have to drive to Dublin or Cork or Limerick or wherever.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, as you mentioned there, I've been covering this story for many, many years. And one of the talking points that came up constantly was, you know, would there be the demand from people around the country? Just because the cable's going by doesn't mean they want the service. And how will that impact the costs and the return on investment from the different stakeholders? But obviously with COVID-19, we've been pushed to work and even school from home. So do you think that the question around the want of the customer, of the homeowner for the high-speed broadband, has it changed entirely as a result of COVID-19?
Yes, Jess, I do. And I'm glad you mentioned the schools, because we brought the schools forward. We'll be wiring up 679, so approximately 680 schools by the end of next year. So we've brought that forward a couple of years because it is so critical. And I think COVID has shown everyone how critical it is. But I also think that the byproduct of COVID, which is people have to stay home, has shown people that maybe they don't want to, even if there wasn't any COVID, maybe they don't want to commute an hour each way or 45 minutes each way. Maybe they don't want to be spending that expense on their car, contributing to contributing in a negative way to the environment by being on the road all the time, leaving their villages, which obviously if everybody leaves in the morning and comes home at night too tired to go out, the village sort of dies. There is no spot to go to meet your neighbor. The pubs sort of start to fade away. The sandwich shops, the lunch shops, the coffee shops, the retail, you know, all that stuff that makes it fun to live in a village, to go out and see your friends and neighbors. A lot of that, I think, is going to come back now. And broadband is part of it. And the reaction to COVID is another part of it. And I think it was just time for that change from rural to urban to be rebalanced. You know, when my family came from Galway to America, America was 80% rural and 20% urban. And now, in two generations, America is now 20% rural, 80% urban. And that's unsustainable. Again, that's just, you know, globally, it's unsustainable. But we're talking about Ireland. It's unsustainable in Ireland as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because initially, again, when conversations were starting about high-speed broadband, the example was given of, you know, you could watch a 4K Netflix film, that would be great. But obviously society has changed given the pandemic, given people's concerns around the environment, all the points that you have just made. I spoke to Peter Hendrick of NBI last year, and he was saying that the project is looking good in terms of being ahead of schedule and under budget. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I'm hopeful, Jess, that it will be. You know, COVID's affected us the same way it's affected everyone else. Now, it hasn't affected us the same as it has, and I don't, you know, mean to be insensitive to retail and pubs and restaurants and airlines and hospitality, because they have just been decimated. I mean, I feel so bad for, you know, some young couple saves up to start a restaurant or a coffee shop or a pub, and then they're just basically wiped out. So it hasn't affected us as bad as those poor, poor people that have been just decimated by COVID. But it has affected us in one area. If you take people that work from home, hasn't really affected us. We've managed through that just like you have, Jess, and just as all your listeners have. That, so our designers can work from home. We managed through that. People who can work in a single crew, like the surveyors, the people that have surveyed 160,000 premises, they can work in one man or one woman crews, so they're not affected. The areas that get affected is where, because of health and safety, you need to work in groups, and that would be pulling cable or climbing poles, or if you're in a ladder or if you're in a manhole. Those areas we have to be in a group for health and safety. COVID has affected us. You know, one of our contractors alone went from Oh, I think 3 weeks ago they had 20% of their people out. 2 weeks ago they had 30% of their people out. And last week they had 40% of their people out. So in the areas we have to work in groups, of course it's hurt us. Of course it has slowed us up. But what we're hopeful is that although that's challenging, by doing more survey, by doing more design, by doing more make ready, by doing more preparation work, when COVID's over, we'll quickly be able to catch up. So I think to answer your question, I think for the overall project, I think that we'll manage through COVID just fine, and the project will be on time and on budget. If COVID, you know, continues to cause us to have to sideline people because they've been in contact with other workers, then obviously those are challenges that we have to work through in these first few months. But there are no more challenges or no more challenging than anyone else that's in this type of business, and obviously less painful for us than it is for the poor retail operators.
Yeah, I posted something on my Twitter the other day. I have this weird habit now because I'm working from home. Every time I'm about to go on air, I do a speed test. And even though I live in an area that has high speed broadband, I find myself doing it. And I think I had around 300 meg or something like that. It was very, very fast. But what was interesting was the level of people coming back to me saying that they have, you know, 0.2 meg or something so minuscule. And if they're listening to this now, the question that they will want answered is, you know, when is NBI coming past my front door? Do you think that, you know, that there has been enough information and communication with the public to inform them of when the rollout will be in their area, but also the providers that could potentially connect them and, you know, get them getting the kind of speeds that I have here in Leopardstown?
Yeah, I think there is. Look, and we'd appreciate the media helping us with this, but what you can do is you can check to see if you're in the intervention area and sign up for updates. You just have to go to, you know, www.nbi.ie. So, you know, and then if you add a backslash and say, where can I buy, it will tell you, you know, what service providers are offering service, but you put your air code in first, and that will tell you whether you're in the intervention area. The intervention area was a government in based on European rules and Irish rules. The government decided what the intervention area was. So they outlined the intervention area, not NBI. So NBI was given the intervention area. And then within that, so you put your air code in, it'll tell you whether you're in the intervention area. If you are, it'll tell you a status of what's coming when. We're working in all 26 counties. And then there's 33 retail service providers that we've onboarded and 17 that have been through our quality control and through our lab and are actively able to sell. So there's plenty of service providers that want to sell service, and the men and women, 800 of them, are working in all 26 counties. So they're going to, despite COVID, they're going to try to deliver this as quickly as they can.
Yeah. My final question, because I've taken up a lot of your time, is, you know, you've mentioned this is a very ambitious project. It's something that is a long-term project. It's something that a lot of man hours, woman hours, and money goes into. What do you get from being involved in this project? And, you know, I suppose, why did you want to throw your hat in the ring to begin with?
Well, I've spent my whole career, Jess, and it's a good question. I spent my entire career at the intersection between you know policy and commerce and regulation in these complicated projects where you have to partner up with a government one way or another. You know, we partnered up with the FCC early on and built the first competitive phone company in America, when we were partnering up with the government on how to bring competition at all to the competitive landscape. And of course, when we started that, it was 30 cents a minute was the average cost of a phone call. And now voice phone is obviously virtually free. So you can see how competition drives up usage and down costs. Telecom is the most elastic product in the world. The more competition, the more usage, the lower the price. So this has been my space, that intersection of policy and commerce, in partnership, in collaboration, in cooperation. That's been the space that I've felt most comfortable operating in. And everybody said that this project couldn't be done, and everybody walked away from it. And the more people walked away from it, the more I wanted to walk into it, because I thought it could be done. And I want to see, I live in rural Ireland. You know, I've had a house here for 20 years. I'm looking out over the Clare Hills right now. And, you know, I want to see rural Ireland rejuvenated. I want to see jobs created, and I want to see jobs saved. And I believe that the rural urban divide can end. And I believe that Ireland can be the leader, the gold standard for the world to look at and say, look, we made national broadband. We made fiber to every man, woman, and child a priority. We made working from home a priority. And we changed the complexion of rural Ireland. And with I talked to my friend, Steve Flanagan, lives across the lane here from me. And all his kids are home, and he has a farm. And he said, look, without broadband, he would have to move. He could not, his wife works, he works, his kids work. He said, without broadband, unquestionably, I would have to sell my farm and move, because he's a farmer by hobby, but he has a full-time job. And his wife has a full-time job. And he said, look, I would have to move. I would have to sell my house and move without broadband. And that's not right. There's 3 million people a week globally just moving from urban environments, from rural to urban environments globally. That means every 3 weeks, the world is creating another Manhattan or another London or another Hong Kong. And that's unsustainable from an environmental standpoint, from a housing cost of housing standpoint, from a congestion standpoint. That's unsustainable. And Ireland has the chance to lead the world in demonstrating how they can stop that migration to urban, and how they can turn it around and allow people to live where they want to live, with this space and this clean air, and maybe it's where their friends and family are from. It's a little bit maybe quieter and maybe slower, but housing is cheaper, and there's less commute, and there's less damage to the environment. And allow them to live there and work there and create jobs there. Not only existing jobs, but create new jobs that we haven't thought of yet. You know, just the internet, you know, telecom, and we've seen the internet was invented in the 1970s, right? And it's been the most explosive piece of technology the world has ever seen. Would cost $1 million to buy in 1975. Measure it any way you want. Measure it by capacity, measure it by speed, measure it by frequency, measure it any way you want to measure. It will cost you $1 million in 1975, cost you a dollar today. So it's a million times more efficient. And you take the next closest industry, you know, maybe automobile industry, transportation or something, maybe it's 4, 5, 6 times, not a million times. But yet Internet 3.0 is going to be another million times on top of that. When you talk about the Internet of Things, you talk about artificial intelligence and digital object architecture, all of these things are gonna be like even more mind-boggling than what we've seen over the last couple of decades. And with that comes opportunity and jobs and change of education and change of healthcare and change of the way we think of a community. Anyway, I didn't mean to spend so long answering that question, Jess, but I guess I'm saying I wanna be part of that change, just like I was part of the change to bring competition in America and drive down the cost of voice, video, and data. I want to be part of that transformation of revitalizing rural life.
Yeah, definitely.
And I hope Ireland is the gold standard for that. I'm sorry, Jess, I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying, it sounds like a passion project. It sounds like something that's beyond just the business. The fact that you live in rural Ireland, you know people in rural Ireland, and as you've outlined there is a very good case for it. David McCourt, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm very much looking forward to covering further updates from NBI over the coming weeks and months.
Jess, thank you so much for your time. Have a good weekend.